Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for being part of our day. Rick Maurer is our guest. And Rick is one of our change agents. He's one of the guys that helps us steer our ship through the choppy waters of change without creating a casualty list. How about that turn of phrase, Rick?
I love it.
He's the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want and Beyond the Wall of Resistance. And I like both of these books, but I love this title, Rick, as you know, Why Don't You Want What I Want? I go around saying that all the time to my people, and they look at me with these glazed eyes. You know, they look at me like, you know, well, who do you think you are anyway, the boss or something?
I know, life's unfair. So.
It really is unfair. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm signing the paychecks. How come I don't get what I want?
And you should.
So. Darn right. I agree with you. I'm going to get you to call in one day and explain that to my people.
Good.
What's going on, Rick?
Well, actually, I think I can help you with that problem. Why don't they want what you want? I put up a new resource on my website about a month ago, and basically, I went out to people I respected, you know, some of my clients and colleagues, and I said, look, what I want you to do is send in a tip for leading change, for getting an idea across. And I said, one, I want it to be something real. I don't want theory. I want something you've done that worked. And I want it to be simple and clear and not something you have to hire a consultant, someone like me, something you don't have to hire a consultant to do. Then somebody could read it and go, oh, I could do that. And right now I've got 10. And I'm going to keep adding to the list, and my hope is that some of your listeners will, too. And there, I got some really good stuff. In fact, I was meeting with a new client just last week, and he said, hey, that one tip on the web, I really like that. Wow. And I mean, it was really moved by what one of my other clients had written in.
Now your website is beyondresistance.com.
Right, and there'll be a big button in the upper right.
Yeah, it's a cool site.
Yeah, and that big button will say tips for leading change, and go there. And, I mean, these are all... we've got 10 now, and I'm going to be adding another 10 within the next week, and I just see it keep growing. But the stuff that people are sending in is good stuff.
All right. Now, when I get to that second page, where do I click to find the 10?
Okay. Near the bottom, it'll have four categories.
Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let me just, for your listeners, tell what the categories are, because the tips are arranged. One is making a compelling case for change, and you might just click on that one, Jim.
All right.
The other three are getting started, sustaining commitment to change, and the last one is getting back on track, and that is, if you have a problem, how do you keep the train from derailing?
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right. So check that out, folks, and follow. And if you want to follow along, fine. That'd be great. If you can't, just listen in. I wanted to spend just a second there talking about how to get into this, Rick, because I want people to take advantage of this. Because one of the things that I think is so important, and that you don't hear anybody talking about anywhere else except on this show, I think, are things like we're talking about right now, this issue of change, how to make sure, you know, change is happening. The question is, are we in front of it, about to be run over, or are we riding on top of it and taking advantage of it?
Yep, absolutely.
And also, what I like the way you say it. You say leading change. See, I like that. You know, instead of being on top of, maybe we're steering the darn stuff. So I really appreciate you being here talking about this. What are some of the things that you've learned from the people who've responded?
Well, this one on making a compelling case for change. It's the guy titled it, "A picture sometimes really is worth a thousand words." And I was in the meeting, and he's a plant manager, and basically, China is going to do them in. China is going to be able to manufacture what they make and send it here and sell it for less than they can afford to make it. I mean,
and ship it across the street.
Yeah, exactly. And this is going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years. And the problem is, people around the plant didn't feel this sense of urgency and didn't feel this sense of this need to really cut costs to be competitive. And so my client, I'll call him Bill, got up in front of a group of foremen, because these really are the natural leaders, and mm-hmm. said, and people trusted him. And he drew a line, like if you can just imagine a line going across the page and then turning up, you know, like the way you wish your stock market, your stock, stocks would go, like that.
Right.
And he said, right where it starts to turn up is where companies like ours are at risk, mm-hmm. because our costs start to go ahead of sort of what the market will do. And he said, and here's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did he show us? What did he say?
Well, he said, we are that close to our costs going out of line.
When it turns up. Stand by, Rick. We're going to come back to this right after these messages. Folks, we're talking about leading change, not just being impacted by change. We're talking about leading change with our change expert, Mr. Rick Maurer, the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? 2012. Stay with us. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Rick Maurer. And folks, when your world gets shaken up, when your company shakes it up a little bit, or your industry or your marketplace shakes it up, or your competitors shake things up a little bit too much, you know, what do you do about it? How do you deal with that? And Rick Maurer is one of those guys who helps us with that. How about that segue, Rick?
I love it. All right.
They don't call me the king of segue for nothing, Rick.
Man, I'll tell you, I ought to hire myself if I were that good.
But you were telling us about this plant.
Yeah.
That you know, and you said in 4 or 5 years, China is going to be, you know, kicking their rear end. Well,
exactly.
You know what? You know, I don't know anybody who's ever had 4 or 5 years notice.
I know. They're lucky. They really are lucky. When I started working with him, you know, he said, look, this is what keeps me awake at night. And I said, well, the good news is, you know, the wolf isn't at the door today. So let's do stuff to get other people so that everybody else around the planet is as sleepless as you are.
Right.
And it's working. And one of the things that they realized is that he had tremendous credibility around the planet. And so it was a good use of his time to get in front of people, because when he spoke, people trusted him. And he did this long, long presentation, a lot of PowerPoint, a lot of stuff that was good, but this one thing that he drew, this line going up and saying, here's where costs get out of line and companies
right.
like ours go down, and here's where we are, and he drew a line right beside it. It changed people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you another story that he didn't put in there, but it's great. Another guy who's the head of environment, health, and safety for the plant, which is a big deal. It's a big deal ethically for them, but it's a big deal financially. I mean, if they get socked with EPA fines, I mean,
right.
they're, you know. And the guy went out the day before, and he took photographs around the plant, and he put them up on the screen. And the first one was this big tank with a little spigot. And for me, it just looked like a big tank and a little spigot. He put that up there, and everybody went, whoa. Because when they looked at it, they saw this spigot was about to corrode, and if it went.
Oh, wow.
Now, everybody in that room got it.
Somebody bumped it or something, just break right off.
Exactly. And he had 3 or 4 pictures like that, and, you know, he didn't have to say anything else. I mean, people were with him. And then he talked about, look, it's urgent. We need to be doing some stuff.
So what does that mean to the rest of us? Should John and Betty, the dry cleaners, or Bill, the you know, the shoe repairman, or the, you know, the small manufacturer? What should we be doing?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's basically the same kind of thing. If you've got a big change, I'm not talking about we're going to rearrange the hangers. I'm talking about a big change,
mm-hmm.
and you're having a hard time getting other people behind you. I mean, they just sort of are lackluster, or, you know, just out and out oppose you. You need to find a way that emotionally is going to grab them, where they look at that, they look at the picture, or they look at what you say, and they go, wow. I mean, there has to be something to get to hit people in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example that I was working in an organization, and the general manager was getting really upset, and I said, what's going on? And he turned around to his senior team, and he said, do you guys realize our plant is idle 40% of the time? And people said, no. Well, it turns out he's been sending him spreadsheets. He's been giving him all kinds of data and numbers. He never said it that clearly. Our plant is idle 40% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our dry cleaner is just lost 30% of its business.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I mean, if you can't answer that question, if you can't make it emotionally, then you need to say, is it really worth doing?
Well, what you got to do, it seems to me, what I'm hearing you say is, you've got to make sure you look at your opportunities and your challenges, and maybe the paradigms that you've just gotten comfortable with, especially, I guess, the paradigms that you've gotten comfortable with, you've got to look at them from more than one angle, don't you?
You do, and equally critical is you've got to be able to communicate it in a way that gives people the information but gives them the emotional connection so that they go, whoa, we better do something right now.
Go ahead.
Well, no, and if you can't do that, if you can't get them emotionally, you're going to have a really hard sell.
Mm-hmm. You really drive home this idea of making sure that the people involved, your stakeholders, are invested in making the change. Because, I mean, you've told us so many times before, if you can't do that, forget about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you need these people to be leaders of this change. And, I mean, if your listeners would just think, when's the last time that they volunteered to do something for a long haul, like with a service organization or at their church or their business, that mm-hmm. they weren't committed to? And the answer is probably a long time ago. I mean, people put in that extra effort, use their discretionary energy, as people say, only when they feel like this is worth doing. You know, it just, and, you know, and if it's a big change, you've got to have that. And you can avoid all kinds of headaches if you can get that right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got a bunch of leaders around the organization saying, how are we going to make it a success, rather than, well, what's the boss up to this week?
And that's when the boss can kind of take a deep breath and not feel like all the pressure is on him to make it happen, or her.
Yeah, and Jim, that's a great sign of whether your change is working or not. If you feel like you're doing all the work, you're dragging this thing uphill, you haven't made a case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I want to do is I want to talk about some examples of how change can, some of the directions that change can move in, and some ideas about how we can look at this thing a different way. When we come back, I've got some ideas, and I know you do too. When we come back after these messages, I want to talk about some ways that we can look at what we're doing and maybe find new ways to make sure that we're going to be successful in the future in the face of so much other change around the world that's affecting us. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Maurer is our guest. His website is beyondresistance.com. Stay with us. Back at 7 Till. I think that's little Anthony and the Imperials, isn't it, Rick? Rick Marner, are you there?
I'm here.
I think that's little Anthony and the Imperials, isn't it?
God, you know, I don't know.
You don't remember those, do you? You're too young, aren't you, Rick?
No, unfortunately, I'm not. I remember them, but I don't remember the names of any of those.
I think that's
groups.
Little Anthony. Yeah, I believe as I remember. Beyond the Wall of Resistance is one of Rick's books. Why Don't You Want What I Want? Is my mantra that I go around saying all the time around here, and nobody listens to me. That's the other book, and the website is beyondresistance.com. Folks, go there and check out. There's a big, like a yellow button there on your homepage?
Yeah, I have it on my browser. It's a blue button, but it's on the upper right-hand side. There's a cartoon at the top, and over to the right of the cartoon, and they'll see it, and it just says Tips for Leading Change, and it's all free. I don't think I mentioned that before.
Right. Yeah, it is a blue button. Yeah, I just forgot there. So one of the things that, and folks, I hope you'll check this out, because these are some really important ways to look at things. You know, Rick, another one that I love, another story I love is when I talked to a guy with a paper plant. He just built a brand new greenfield paper plant, and I asked him, I said, how many of your people use technology in the direct employment of their work? And he said 100%. And I said, how many employees do you have? He said, half as many as the company, as the Greenfield plant I built 10 years ago. 800 10 years ago, 400 now to do the same work.
Yeah.
Now that's an aha moment. That guy over the last 10 years, he somebody drew that line you were talking about.
Yep.
And said, this is what's going on. Now, what I wanted to talk about for a minute, Rick, is how do we look at our own circumstances like that? And so many of us deliver commodities. A service is a commodity.
Right.
A soybean is a commodity. A tire, a computer, an automobile,
yeah.
a coat, a ham on rye. They're all commodities, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And so, you know, unless you got some kind of special sauce and who knows what everybody, you know, maybe I don't like your special sauce. Unless we've got that. We got to, unless we come up with some new widget that nobody's ever seen, which nobody's really going to do, I don't think, very much anyway, we got to come up with a different way to deliver those commodities, don't we?
Yes.
Isn't that one of the ways to look at this elephant that we have, this whatever it is that we have, that this in danger potentially?
Yeah, and by the way, and it's endangered, but it's our own fault it's in danger because we're not feeding it the right stuff. Mm-hmm. In fact, something comes to mind. Kathy and I have used the same plumber, local plumber, for over 20 years. But each time we call, it's like the first time. I mean, when we remodeled, we bought new stuff. We our air conditioning systems from them. They do.
Nobody said, "Oh, hi, Rick. Thanks. Good to hear from you."
Yeah, and we just had a problem with the heat not going on, and it's. We're in the Washington, D.C. area. That's going to be a problem in the next few weeks.
Right.
And they came out, but there was a problem getting here. And then they said, oh, it'll be 3 weeks before we can get out again. And I said, no, that's not acceptable. And so they finally sent somebody out. They didn't do it right. Each time I'd call back, it would be like, oh, nobody ever said, hey, how did it work out? Yeah. Nobody followed up. And and Kathy and I are both going, it's time to change plumbers.
Right.
And now, they are doing nothing to keep our business. And we never, in 20 years, price shopped, never questioned them. I mean, and they're losing,
a loyal customer.
One for over 20 years.
And somebody who would tell other people about them.
You betcha. And boy, we're telling other people about them now, but not the way they want to hear. And it's really, I mean, it's... And that company could do stuff differently. And
so what you're saying is, forget China. These people are doing it to themselves.
They are doing it to themselves. Absolutely. Yep.
That's creating your own kind of bad change, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a cardinal sin, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah. And I'm sure your listeners know that, I mean, it costs more to get a new customer than to retain a customer. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much to retain a customer. Even a follow-up call, say, hey, I knew he had some problems with that. How did it work out? And, boy, I really apologize. Or, hey, what if we don't bill you for this one?
Right.
Or, I know it's the weekend. We'll get somebody out there. I mean, anything to let you know, gee, they actually care about us.
Isn't that the only thing that's different under the sun today is the way we deliver it, not what we deliver?
Pretty much.
It's the only, basically the only thing different under the sun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rick Maurer, thank you for helping us understand how to deal with change, how to actually not deal with it, folks, but lead change. That's what Rick helps us do. Thank you, Rick, for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks. It was a pleasure, Jim.
BeyondResistance.com. Go check out those case studies. I'm sure he's going to be posting some more. There are 10 up there now, and I think you'll enjoy reading those. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you in a little bit.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.